I'm joining you from home today and have a couple of backdrops and accents to contribute to our worship today that are especially timely during this season of Christmas. Behind me you see the child and the Madonna, the gift of God to all of creation, the gift of a Savior come down from heaven. That painting was actually a gift to me from some of my family. Walter Hill gave that to me over 20 years ago, and it still sits in my home office. I'm grateful for that reminder of the innocence of our Lord that came into this world that was quite uninnocent to conquer our brokenness forever. And also this morning, maybe you can see that I am revealing a brand new Christmas tie. See old Santa Claus there with the Christmas tree with him? Manya had given me this just last night when we opened the rest of our presents. We have our stockings later. So it's just usually things of necessity, things that we use, just small gifts, final reminders how precious we are to one another. So this Christmas tie, I thought, would be a good reminder to us of this season of gift, giving, and receiving for us as families, and the greater gift of receiving that we have in a Savior from heaven. In our scripture today, I noticed that the word revealed or revelation is recorded several times throughout this writing by the gospel proclaimer evangelist Luke. In this text, he says, and he describes Christ as the light of revelation for all people. Isn't that beautiful? Some of us, when we think of God, we're grateful for that imagery of light, the gift of light that we celebrated just the other night on Christmas Eve during our communion to remind us that we are called, even as we've received Christ's light in this world, to be light in the darkness for all around us. Friends, that's where we bring hope and glory to our Father above when we live out His light and love in the world around us. But in this text, the writer Luke says that Christ came even as Simeon was anticipating the revelation or that the Messiah would be revealed. You know, let's concentrate on that word, revealing today, revealed, revelation. I saw on Facebook, and look, let me go ahead and preface this. I'm going to chase the squirrel a minute. I'm not the best Facebooker. So if y'all ever post something that I don't comment and you think I should have, go ahead and message me, text message me, email me, because I don't look at it quite so often. I post more than I read. But I did see on Christmas a great revealing. You know, reveals for babies have become a big deal. Sometimes they're exciting and they pop balloons and then you see what color is on the inside, right? Or I've even seen babies' births being announced on a baseball field. Well, one of my most special couples and their family, Austin and Jenna Hopper, revealed on Facebook that big Brother Brooks is going to be so named here in about a little less than 9 months, I'd say. They're going to have another one. When I first saw that picture that the sonogram revealed, I told Monia, I said, I think there's two babies there. She said, no, there's just one. So don't shock Jenna and all the world in cyberspace by saying that. So y'all, I didn't say that this morning. There's only one. But it was a revealing that Jenna and Austin shared. And here's why they posted that. They wanted everybody who knew them and loves them to celebrate this joy of life with them. Right, Jenna? I see your hearts there posting this morning. That's what we do when we reveal something. We share it great enthusiasm with those we share life with. Well, friends, maybe, even in a more prominent way, that's why Luke uses this word today to talk about Christ coming to creation, to this world, because we have seen God's glory revealed in Him for all of us who are His children. Isn't that beautiful? It's a great message, a revelation of good news, as we heard in our gospel reading on Christmas Eve, of good news of great joy. That's the gift of God's revelation as we've journeyed through Advent. You know, I played an Advent song this morning, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, but I thought it was appropriate. I'm going to read a portion of that text today as we transition from God's revelation to God's consolation. That's the other word that Luke says to us today in this reading. Hear the words of this text, the lyrics of the song that we shared this morning. Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set the people free, from our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Wow. The hymn writer indeed spoke of Advent, of what Christ would bring to our earth. The things that we've celebrated in our Advent wreath this year, right? The hope, the peace, the joy, the love of a Savior come down from heaven. You see, even as the people Israel prepared for the Messiah, the revelation, as Simeon and Anna went to the temple praising God every day, praying and fasting, they were seeking God's revelation. And there was some anticipation, even as Jenna and Austin shared the anticipation of life. When we expect a good gift, friends, aren't we like that? Until it's been revealed, we're excited. We're wondering what it is. When those Christmas presents are wrapped, I used to like to shake the boxes. And I don't want my mama to hear this, so y'all don't tell her about it. But when I was a little fella, I'd even get those presents. I'd poke a little hole, and I'd look through there and kind of try to figure out what it was. I was so excited about the gift to come that I couldn't wait for it to be revealed. I had to do some of my own revelation. Well, friends, hear with me the power of this word that Luke says, that there is joy in God's revelation to us. He came so that we may know the joy. Well, here's the transition. In our text, not only did Christ come, and I hope y'all receive this with me with fresh ears today. Not only did Christ come for our salvation, not only did Messiah come down from heaven so that we may be able to go to heaven through His gift of life. Not only did Christ come to give this world hope, peace, joy, and love, but here's what else. Friends, God came through Christ to give us consolation. As the hymn sang about, Israel's consolation became all of creation's consolation. Well, let's break that word down. What does it mean for God to be a consolation for us? We think of the word, where it derives from. We are consoled through God's love, through His presence, through His peace. You know, I think I saw Wanda Newton posting there, and Wanda and Jen and Shirley and Tony, the family, they are still grieving the loss of our dear Elvin. And now several of them have been diagnosed with COVID, having physical illnesses, and in addition to the emotional and the grief and emptiness. And for Jennifer and her family, when we celebrated Elvin's life the other day, many of us made food and took it to them. Manya made a very nice thing of spaghetti and put it in a nice paper bag. And Jody, on the way, broke the bag, tore the bag. I got to the church, I taped the bag, made it look real good, and I wrote them a little note on the bag. I said, Manya sent a perfectly good bag. Jody tore the bag and taped the bag. Please don't tell Manya that Jody tore and taped the bag. So they got a kick out of that. It gave them a little sense of joy in the midst of their grief. But why was food made for the Huddlestons? You know, many of us know that sometimes what we do for another, what we share through love, speaks even more powerfully than what we say. That's why we comfort, we console friends who are hurting, not only through our words, but through our actions. Well, friends, will you receive with me today that just as Christ came to this world as Creator and Savior and Restorer of us, not only do we have hope eternal, hope in heaven, and hope to come, but friends, hear this with me. We have God's consolation. God consoles us in the brokenness of this life, in our grief, in our sorrow, in our worries, in our problems, in our 2020s that are about to end. God is present. You know, I heard someone say once, I once thought that where Christ is, there is no pain or suffering. But after living in the faith, I come to understand that where there is suffering, there Christ is. You see, that is the consolation of Messiah. That Christ came to this earth not only to conquer the perils eternally and eventually in heaven, but friends, even as we journey through the brokenness, and let's be honest, through the perils of this life, God is with us to comfort us and sustain us. Even as we embrace our faith, for those of you who may be new at the faith or considering the faith, when you begin journeying with Christ, that does not mean that you will be absent of problems or pain in this world. But where there's pain, Christ is present with you. I believe that. Not only do I preach it, I've lived it, I've experienced it, friends. I've tried life without Christ. I've tried going it alone. And I have learned that even through the perils in life, there is a consolation from on high to sustain me. No matter what this world gives me. I want to share with you a reading of one of my favorite pastors today, Max Lucado, who I know some of you are probably fans of as well, wrote a recent article, and it was an addendum or a follow-up to one from his book on Christmas. But here is what Lucado said in this recent article as he considered the challenges that we've all faced in 2020. This time of celebrating Christmas in ways that we haven't before, right? We've been isolated. We've had to practice social distancing. We, as a Hill family, were all separated at my parents' home. Many didn't come. There were just a few of us there. We had to embrace and make precautions to keep everybody as healthy as possible. And even as we exchanged gifts with Mickey and his family and Millie and Dylan and Drake the other day and carried those for Becky and others, we couldn't hug. We couldn't touch. We just waved. We exchanged gifts. Even in the challenges of this season, God is still present. God is still consoling. Here's what Max Lucado's saying. He said, in spite of the chaos, and that's what 2020 has been for us, right? In spite of the chaos 2,000 years ago, when Mary became pregnant, even before her marriage, when Mary became pregnant in Joseph's eyes by someone other than himself, when Mary had to travel in her poverty without family, in isolation in Bethlehem, in the coldness, not even being able to go into the inn, when Mary knew the chaos of birth, God's consolation and comfort was still there. Friends, that was true 2,000 years ago for Mary and Joseph and the birth of the Christ child. It's true for us in our chaos of 2020. Here's what Lucado said. And chaos cannot keep him from our world. Christmas is here. Christ is here. May the Lord do again what he did then. Scatter the night with everlasting light. May he be born in us. May his advent brighten the autumn chill. And may we be reminded that because of Bethlehem, we can find a lifetime of hope. Isn't that beautiful? Friends, the message of Christmas is more important now than ever. The message of that beautiful child being born into our broken world is hope and consolation, comfort to us now than more than ever. God will journey with us through every 2020 devastation, separation in our life until it's ultimately conquered in heaven forever. So what do we do? What do we do to call upon God's consolation, God's comfort, and reveal Christ to the world? I think our scripture reading today, the faithful, obedient servants, Simeon and Anna, the prophet, reveal to us how we cry out and trust God in our challenges of life. You see, they were both people of worship. They were people of prayer and fasting and reliance upon God. I've shared with some of you before that as a young minister more than 20 years ago, I never really knew how to pray pastoral prayers. Prayers when family members were facing illnesses, perhaps cancer, heart disease, or other traumatic experiences, not only physically, maybe emotionally, or relationally, perhaps even professionally. I was always hesitant early in my ministry to pray for healing because I thought, what's going to happen if they aren't healed? What will it do to their faith? What will it say to them about God if I prayed for their healing, God didn't answer, and they didn't get their heart's desire? But over time, as I grew spiritually and I grew in my dependence in trust in God and faith in God, I come to understand this. Friends, God always answers. God responds without merit, no matter what we do, but because of his love for us. Here's what I mean. If we have a friend, a family member who's facing illness, certainly we should call out to God for their restoration and believe that God will hear and will respond to our prayer. There will be an answer. Sometimes the answer is what our heart's desire is. What we want is in accordance with God's holy plan and need for our life. Sometimes that answer is, I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to console you. I'm going to journey with you through this brokenness until the end. You see, God, friends, always answers. So may we, in the spirit of Anna, in the response of Simeon, pray, dear church, in the chaos of our current life, knowing that ultimately it will be conquered forever, and pray for healing. Pray for deliverance. Pray that God would conquer whatever we face. And even when it's not answered exactly as we want, and when we want, and how we want, may we never forget that it is answered. Even, most importantly, God consoles us and comforts us into the journey from darkness into light forever. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we celebrate. That's not a big enough word. We give you praise and glory for the gift of heaven, for the gift of a Savior that's come to us. If God, you never gave us anything else but the salvation of living with you forever in glory, we would be eternally gifted forever. But even before heaven, even before our deliverance, you journey with us now. You console us. You comfort us through the perils of life. This life is not always about us getting everything that we want, but you sustaining us no matter what the world gives us. We praise you for that. Will you be our strength? Will you hear our prayers as we pray now for each other and with one another, asking for deliverance, asking for your holy favor, even as it was on Mary, upon our friends and family. We pray for Ann and Hollis. I see you there, Ann. We pray for Don and all of our friends joining us virtually. We pray for each other and with one another, whether the needs be spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, or professional. Oh God, you are the physician. Would you bring miracles of grace when our heart's desires, our wants for our family and for ourselves can be in accordance with your holy plan and need for our lives? Will you open the floodgates of heaven? Will you give us wisdom, God, when the prayers aren't answered exactly how we want and when we want? May we still know that they are answered, that you always respond with grace, even if the response is consolation and comfort, so that we can endure the trial until it's completely conquered. We pray also for your church, for our nation, for the friends and family that you've entrusted us to most of all, but those who we're furthest from and maybe even estranged from, perhaps enemies. Will you bring healing to our land? We pray that you conquer the coronavirus, the division in our nation, that you help us all to celebrate the unity that we find in you and celebrate what we hold in common more than anything, oh God, that divides us. And now, friends, as your children, God, we say together the words you taught us, praying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.